Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch. Hello here from the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Joining me now is the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, Peter Tuckman. Peter, so good to see you.
It's an honor. Nice to see you, Manuel.
Peter, we haven't met for almost 3 years. We had COVID in between. How do you do now?
You know what? How do I do now? I am alive. I am vibrant. I have some struggles, but you know, I don't like to live in those days. I get up every day. I trade the market. You know, this is the most exciting time to be in the market, to be alive. So I'm fighting a good fight.
I always love your positive energy, and you know, you're always fighting for everything you do. You are here on the floor. You're into art, NFT. You have a lot of projects. So where is this energy coming from?
You know, I don't know where the energy comes from. It's just probably I have a very strong background and foundation. You know, I found something I love to do. And, you know, I always say that if you find something you love to do, you'll never work a day in your life. Not my quote, but it's something I kind of live by. So, you know, look, for me, this has been my career for 35 years, 37 years maybe, and I love that. And the market is more exciting than it's ever been before. We all went through 3 years, probably the hardest 3 years of our lives, and we can't imagine what everybody went through. But I'm not somebody who's going to sort of surrender and succumb to all that negativity, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, or financial, right? I'm a fighter, I'm a survivor, and that's been my background. My family were survivors. So I sort of think, you know what, you've got to get up. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You know, maybe life is not going to be the way it was, but we'll have a new reality and a new life, right? So I'm just fighting for a better tomorrow. That's it.
You're here on the floor since 85. Correct. So you have seen crisis coming and going. At the moment after COVID, we see a high inflation. We see the Ukrainian war. So what's your thought about all this? Is this a crisis to stay, the recession that will be hit us very badly?
You know what? Look, I love analyzing the different crises that I've lived through on the floor, right? Going back to the crash of 87, I was a young clerk on the floor right over there, in fact. And that was a different, you know, each one of the crises and the crashes and whatever you want to call them that we've had over the last 37 years have had different components that made them. They were at a different time in our lives, in technology and in economic global connection and all of that. Crash of 87 had certain components that were special. It was the biggest percentage crash we ever had. Then obviously whatever went on in the 90s, I don't have a lot of memory of the 90s. And then you had 2000 and the dot-com bust. And then you had 2007, the financial crisis, which I remember very, very well. And that had more different components on its own. It was a financial crisis. There were, you know, the Federal Reserve had to bail out the banks, right? You know, it was something started by the mortgage crisis, which was people should look and research it because it was a very fascinating economic, you know, situation that caused that crash. Every time it's been different things that caused these crises. And then we obviously have the COVID crisis. I don't think we've ever seen a crisis that involved our physicality and our physical spirit and mental health and physical health like this one. I don't think we've ever had a crisis that really affected every human being on Earth. And I don't think we've ever been at a time before where the economic global interaction and the thread between us all globally has been as strong, right? Has been as powerful as trading partners, as just, you know, being in this world together, whether that's a function of history or technology or whatever it may be. So then you've got this incredible thing come along that sort of caught everybody off guard. It affected everybody on Earth, right? There's not a human being from the hills of Kathmandu to the bottom of Antarctica who was not affected by COVID in one way, emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, in their work or whatnot. And then we're now trying to come out of it. And it's been a 2.5-3 year struggle, right? And then we've got all the economic situations and components to it globally and whatnot. And then you throw inflation, and then you throw interest rates, and then you throw a war in Ukraine, and you throw the challenges in energy. So we've got this puzzle, right, that has never been seen before. There is no playbook for coming out of a pandemic, coming out of a complete economic global shutdown, coming out of what we had to do to get out of that. And I'm a firm believer the Federal Reserve had to do what it did, or else I believe we would be on breadlines now. And I know people blame a lot of the inflation on that, but I don't. I blame the inflation on pandemic rather than the fact that the Fed did what it had to do to bail out a world that was shutting down, where there was no demand, there had to be no supply, or else companies would have gone bankrupt. So now we're trying to come out of that story. And it's challenging. And we don't know what every day is going to bring. Every day something else is happening. We've got a market that has 40 million new retail traders. We've got an economy globally that's pretty skittish. We've got a humankind that is at a state of divisiveness, right, like we've never seen before. So, look, I've seen many crises. I've seen many crashes. And I don't think I've ever seen anything like this.
You've mentioned so many things already, so let me ask some more questions. The Fed, the Federal Reserve, has to do something to fight inflation and to get the market strong and to maybe avoid a crisis. And do you think that these big steps the Fed is making now are the right thing to do?
So, you know, economics is not my forte, and I don't often try and talk about things I'm not that well versed on, but I've been forced to try and understand what's going on, what happens in the economic cycle, and what is necessary, what causes inflation, and what markets and Federal Reserve must do to curb inflation. And it's clear that we've been running at interest rate zero for a while. Companies that helped fuel the pandemic's rally in the marketplace, right, are companies that were borrowing money at zero. And at one point, and then plus you have all the other supply chain issues and whatever went on during COVID. And so you've got inflation. Everybody has to pay more for goods and services. That's really a bigger, rather than the fact that we did print a lot of money to bail us out of a bad situation, I think the fact that all these companies had to shut their business down in order to survive the pandemic, then they had to go back online, that doesn't happen automatically. You cannot turn a switch on and suddenly, you know, grow food again or build trees again to cut down to make wood, to build houses again. So there's a lot of dynamic to this situation. The Federal Reserve, one of its tools is to raise interest rates, to take money out of the system, to curb inflation. Well, that's an economic cycle. That's an economic standard. It has nothing to do with what I think of it or not. That's one of the tools that well-known economic study standards has done. Is it going to work? I sure hope so. As the market sort of reacted adversely to a number of the huge rallies that raises that we've seen? Yes. Is it kind of here? We're on June 24th, on a Friday in June, the end of the quarter, the S&P 500 rebalanced today. Have we sort of dug in a little bit of some footing? Have we maybe seen a short-term bottom? I'd love to think that. 363 last week on the S&P felt like that to me. So the market usually figures it out, finds equilibrium some way or the other. We know that. In my opinion, sometimes ripping off the Band-Aid, doing a larger move in the beginning to basically sort of get us where we need to go, the market will adapt to that, is, in my opinion, a better move. I am not an economist. It's just a feeling. And I like to do things that, you know, the Federal Reserve told us that they would adjust their raising of interest rates relative to how the data shows the market and the economy is reacting to it. The first reaction was a down one. This one may be a little bit better going forward.
You mentioned also a lot of new young traders, millions, who came into the markets. For them, maybe this is the first struggle after markets went up the last 2 years. What would you recommend them?
So it's a bit of a smack in the face. Look, we ended up having what I called a sort of a positive perfect storm. When COVID hit, you had everybody at home. You had Reddit and Wall Street Bets and the internet lighting up. You had people with a little bit of some disposable stimulus income. And you had suddenly people with a lot of time on their hands that went focused on the stock market. And then you had Robinhood, TD Ameritrade, all these free trading apps. So suddenly on March 23rd, 2020, the COVID hit, and you suddenly had this incredible new environment, right, where you the barriers to entry into the stock market, which in the past had been only credited investors could trade, suddenly these barriers were let down, and there was sort of a run for the door. Everybody could get into the market. Everyone with a $10 and fractional investing, $10 and an iPhone, you could trade the market. What an amazing experience. For me, I love that. Some people maybe don't like these new young gangster traders. I embrace them because they're the future. If we can curate them and educate them, right? So everybody who got into the market, these new 40 million young retail traders got into the market, hit a buy button in March 2020, and suddenly they were making money and they felt like millionaires. A couple of Dogecoin here and there, some Bitcoin, some AMC, some GameStop. And it was all beautiful and it was green. But they didn't understand that markets don't just go up. Markets do eventually go down. And some people who did not take a profit, who were actually, it's not about how much money you make, it's about how much money you keep. It's something that my partner David Green always talks about. And I don't think they were given that memo. There are a lot of memos these young people didn't get, that markets don't only go up, they go down. That markets can be ruthless. That the market also gives you some tools to trade with that will benefit you to navigate a volatile market. So my advice to them is they need to educate themselves about technical analysis, about risk management. They need to take profits when they can, not when they have to. They need to understand that this is not a get-rich-quick scheme and that it is a wonderful space, a wonderful place to make some money, find a career, find something you love to do, but they cannot underestimate the fact that there's no honor in losing money. That, you know, that posting a picture of yourself on a Bugatti with a stack of $10,000 on Instagram doesn't mean you're rich, because rich today may be poor tomorrow. And so, look, I'm here for them. If they want to, I'm embracing that community to help educate them and motivate them and inspire them to learn how to do this in a responsible way, because it's a great way to trade the market.
Which trends do you see? Is there like a trend for like green investments? Is there a social media trend where you get your information? So what would you say, what is important for young traders to get information, to see where the new trends are?
You know what? Look, for me, when you're trading a market that is really as skittish as this one, where you're trading a market that is really going through a lot of challenges, trying to get its footing, when you're trading a market coming out of a pandemic with inflation and interest rates, and stuff like that, with a tech sector that's been on fire, then it got downed by the sell-off. When I try and motivate and educate young people, I'm not picking sectors yet. That's more of a fundamental analysis approach. And I don't think we're ready yet. We're not out of this situation that we're in yet to start thinking that there's you can learn about fundamentals. It's exciting. If people like, you know, when young people ask me about what stock should I buy, I always say to them, walk down the street, go to school, find out what sneakers people are wearing, what phone they use, what computer they're on, what social media they follow, and what they like to do in their spare time. So if you're a gambler, you like DraftKings. If you like sneakers, you're in Nikes. If you're in phones, you like iPhone. You know, if you're on computers, you like maybe an Apple, right? And those are good companies, right? You know, and so long-term, those stories are good stories. They've got fundamentals. But for a young person to be trading, now there's two different worlds here. Investing, I recommend everyone, and my disclaimer, I'm not a financial advisor, and I'm not here to tell you what to do. That would be wrong for me. But what I would love everyone to do is to put $50 aside every month and then put it in the market. Have some exposure, invest in your future, because net over time markets go up. And that's a great thing. If you're a young person, $50 is, you know, have three less Starbucks and two less Big Macs, you know, and then you'll have $50. Put it in the market. But if you're a trader, this is an amazing opportunity when the market is as volatile as this. We're up 650 today, 90 handles on the S&P. That's a big move. We've been down for months and months. We've been up for a couple of days. Is it going to stay? I don't know. But it's an amazing environment to learn and study technical analysis and risk management because, you know, if you go to a job and the job is boring and nothing's happening, it's not that easy to learn it on the job training. But if you're trading and learning in a market that's going up like this and down, it's in a wonderful educational environment. So I beg everyone to just check that out. There are lots of courses. You can learn from me. You can learn from anybody around. There's some bad actors in the space. So do your homework. But whenever you get involved in anything, do your due diligence and find out who you're dealing with.
You're turning 65 this year.
No way.
You know?
I am 55. I've been 55 for 9 years. Let's be clear. Okay? That's for you.
In Germany, it's an age people usually retire. Do you think you will ever retire?
Absolutely not. I will never retire. My energy level is stronger than ever before. You know, I'm sort of somebody that loves to fight adversity. And, you know, my work isn't done yet, right? I feel strongly about a lot of the things I'm doing, whether it's sort of fun with the NFT and the art space, whether it's fun with the education thing, which I'm very serious about, whether it's fun. Why would I ever want to miss trading a market that's doing this kind of wild and crazy moves? That's what I thrive on. I thrive on chaos and volatility. Not everybody is like that, but for me, I don't ever see retiring.
Peter Tuckman, the Einstein of Wall Street. Thank you so much. All
My
the
pleasure.
Best. And thank you for watching, guys. Und wenn euch diese Sendung gefallen hat, dann abonniert gerne den Podcast von Inside Wirtschaft und gebt uns ein Like.